Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Welcome back, everyone. This is Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with...
James Wrench.
Hi, James. And we are talking about the 12 steps, how they relate to God's Word. This is a program that talks about kingdom mentality and how we can walk through life and with our foundation being God's Word through therapeutic, like 12-step programs. If you go into therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, how really God gave us the Word to deal with all of this, and how we hear these words in the world, but in the spirit, God gave us His Word to actually be the solution for all of that. So we get to walk this out with God in His love. And so I just want to say that if you, the commercial before was workforce discipleship, and I want to remind people that even the women, there's a women center there for working class homeless women who are struggling to get someone maybe to share rent or even for their own rent. And you can call me at 631-745-7980. You can call the center. Even men, there's a men's area too. You can call the center and speak to Jerome Ryan, is the founder. And if he doesn't answer, somebody else will. It's 772-207-6925. And I encourage you, if you're finding it difficult to find a place to stay because you're not making enough, it's affordable housing, and there's a lot of love there. And I suggest you use the resource. So, again, you can call me 631-745-7980. And you're listening to WCNO 89.9. This is Kingdom Recovery. We come to you every Friday, live most of the time, unless something's going on, at 5 o'clock. And we started up our Zoom meeting on Saturdays, Coffee with Christ. And I just want to put that out there because I've had some listeners calling in about it. So we started it up, and there's been... some attendance, not a lot, but some, but that's how things grow. It starts as a mustard seed. And you can call me for that information also if you're interested. And again, it's 631-745-7980. And we had Pastor Tom on last week at the King's Table, King Jesus's table, and it was Kingdom Mentality Talk. And now, and Kingdom Recovery is really recovering in the world God's kingdom. Not in ourselves, because once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us and then He infills us, we are the kingdom. Wherever we go, we bring the kingdom of God, just as Jesus did. The kingdom of God is at hand when we enter a room. And the big key is obedience and following Christ, because if we're not following Him, we're not in the kingdom, because He's in the kingdom. No, just... makes sense when you put it all together. So, and so we try to help people renew the mind so that their lives can be transformed in the image and likeness of God, how Jesus walked the earth. Right, James?
Amen.
Amen. So, if you want to call in, if you have anything, we've been talking about love, all different ways to talk about love, to share love, to give love. And there's only one way to receive true love, and that's through God. Right, James?
Amen.
And once you get His love, all the love that I've ever been looking for, seeking, trying to find, can't even compare. And whenever, and because I, and it's a key component to your relationship. When we believe that when I believe God loved me first, it changed everything because it stopped me from having to go into a place and be accepted, you know, manipulate. All these things stopped happening because I already had everything I needed. So God can use us more fully, I should say, in all the areas, because we're not looking to get something in return. We have everything we need. We're looking actually to pour out when God sends us on a on an assignment. So today we want to talk about what does God's love look like? And no one is able to love others until they have completely laid down their life for God and start to follow. Because he does say in, and I taught on this, if you want to listen to Treasure Coast Victory Center, you can go online and you can listen to teachings on Wednesday, Pastor Tom, disciples. So he allows people that attend his church that are going to his teachings on Wednesdays to teach also, which is called discipleship. And it's very important that we disciple people and we help people develop their relationship with God and their faith so that they can express their love as they follow God and teach and preach and evangelize and heal and do all those things that God calls us to do. And our church allows us to have that freedom to do those things. And we're very grateful. I am. Right, James? It's Amen. A wonderful place to go.
Yes.
So Treasure Coast Victory Center, you can listen to not only Pastor Tom's preachings and teachings, but our associate pastors and the leaders and members of our church. And it's really enlightening. So I was teaching there this past Wednesday, and I taught on obedience, which is could be a complicated conversation. But, you know, we're love, so we teach in love. And in John, 1 John 2:4, I'll read that really quickly. It says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar." His meaning God's commandments, right? "And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." So this is, "And he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." And we're supposed to walk as Jesus, and that's evidence of our love for God. And the only way we can love God is by knowing that we are loved by God. So until I truly understand that and receive that and accept that and faith that in my life, it's going to be hard to be motivated to manifest that love. It's the same mirror image love that it's my relationship. It's evidence of my relationship with God as I walk in his word and in the spirit. So what does God look like in your life? So love comes from God, not from people, places, and things or any situation in your life. I know that there were times that, you know, you can, I remember when I was a kid, we would go to the fair in Whitestone, and they would have these like, I don't know, pull off, you know, you would rip them and they would be like gambling. Mm-hmm. You know, we were like 15. We would get the for a dollar, you get them and it would have like three cherries and you would win, like the jackpot was like $50. And you would think like, wow, you know, I got everything I need. And then it would die away. Well, that's just like this. If it's not from God, you're going to feel that feeling with people, places, and things until you truly receive God's love, you know? Now, we can know in our mind that God loves us, but until it's in our heart and we truly believe, you know, God says, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, in your heart. He says that for a reason, because we could say a lot of things. And thank God he doesn't take everything literally, because I wished a lot of people dead when I was younger. You know, he knows our heart more than, because people would be falling all around me. Oh, Luann was here, dead bodies everywhere. Thank you, Father, for knowing me before I knew you. Hallelujah. So, yes, love comes from God only. So love is a decision we make. And how? By our obedience. That's how we can manifest it. We have to make a decision to love, like as if as an act of my will, I choose to love this person. I choose to forgive this person. I choose to bless this person. It's always going to be your choice. God will send an invitation, which is like usually like, you know, revelation or maybe conviction. That's the invitation. And it's up to us how we act on that, how we respond to the invitation. If we say yes, that means we have to pick up our mat, our life, and follow him, his will, his way, his thoughts, his ideas, his purposes, and his plan. That's why we need to be in a relationship with him. Love is a decision made. It should not be based on emotion, but rather its foundation is truth. And it is the truth that makes us free, free to do everything, right? Choose, free to be happy, whatever. And whatever I believe to be the truth is what I'm going to, how I'm going to live my life. So if I don't know, if I don't believe the word is truth, is true, then I'm going to live my life, I'm going to live my life a lie, believing that I know the truth, but I don't, right? So believing faith is faith, and that's love. Love is truth. God is love. In God's will, word, way, it activates and cultivates. It produces. Truth produces. All right? Faith motivates. So if I know the truth and I have faith in that, it'll motivate either way. If I'm faithing in the wrong thing, I'm going to be motivated to do the wrong thing. So it goes, it's two sides to the coin. It's still a coin. It's still the value of the coin. So, and I was telling somebody that if you have a dime and the, you know, good's on one side, bad's on the other, it's a dime. You have to choose which side you want to, you know, walk on. So Jesus is the truth, the word of God, and thy will be done, not mine, not my will be done, is a God-centered life, a love-centered life. It's a lifestyle, and we choose to live it, to produce love with God. The only one that we can produce love with is God. So God needs us to help another person produce love with him. So it's God and you, God and another. So if you're the vessel that God needs when he asks you or convicts you or gives you that little unction inside to do something, when he, if you, your response is going to be a clue of where you're at with God, or evidence of where you're at with God, right? So I choose to love today, now and always. And even the past harms, we have to choose to love instead of holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness. Because when we're in harms and when we're in bitterness or unforgiveness, or we stop producing goodness, God's goodness, and we're producing negative things in our life and in the lives around us.
And in our health.
And that's right. And in our health. So choose to love is by the power of the Holy Spirit, the guidance. That's how we have the ability to be able to do it, to love others, to be able to do whatever it is, these things that God calls us to do. He supplies us. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, his way, right? His calling, how he would do it. And these things, the things that are needed in order to fulfill his purposes, will be added to you. He wants you to be healthy, so you'll get all the basic needs met. But then he overflows with things that you didn't even know were possible, because he's trying to do something, manifest his glory through you, so that someone else, not only yourself, goes to another level, but someone else will go to another level. Hallelujah. So in any given situation, we can choose love, regardless of how we feel. We choose love. Feelings and emotions are, in fact, only truth is. And sometimes the truth hurts, just as sometimes the truth will always make us free. The true truth, right? The faith. So truth in love is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, just as God is love. He's love, and it's the same. So I was sharing yesterday, on Wednesday, I was teaching, and I was like, jealousy is jealousy. It's been jealousy for the last, even before Christ. It's been, you know, since the angel Satan stepped in, rebellion, all of that, pride, anger, all these these things that we put on us, we want to wear, we choose to wear, they are feelings and emotions that have been around longer than I have. So when people say, oh, the Bible was for yesterday, that's not true, because the Bible's talking about really ways to overcome, the ways that God has taught us to overcome these familiar, right, spirits of anger, suffering, rebellion, all these things. So the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It we can utilize it the same way. Hallelujah. So let's see. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life of love. He's the only way to love. Jesus is God's example of how we are to choose to love. So, you know, we say these little things, but they're really important if you take them seriously. What would Jesus do? What does God say about this situation? There's an answer. It might not be specific, but if you look in the spirit instead of the natural, so you take away what you naturally see in the circumstance, but you look at the spiritual aspect of it, it's going to be filled with something. And if it's a problem, it's going to be filled with ungodly spirits, or, you know, things that maybe generational stuff. Not everything is, you know, it's learned behavior. You know, like we were brought into this. Everything will lead to where being Adamites. That's what I'll say. To the fall, to rebellion. Because God gave us the blessings so that we can live in the blessings and have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? So no one can come to the Father. No one can come to God, love, without Jesus in their hearts. It's him that he sees, right? Our obedience to keep his commandments is our expression of our love for him, the relationship we have with him, the true love. And he wants to manifest. Technically, he wants to make love to people all the time. He's creating love all the time because he produces. And, you know, in the fourth step, we talked about the columns. We always say resentments, that's unforgiveness. Fear is our security. So we have social, unforgiveness is resentments. We have fear, which is our security. I get paralyzed by fear. I can't function properly. And then there's harms done, sex harms, which is production. We're called to produce seed after its own kind, multiply. But we can't multiply God's kingdom if we can't get along with each other. That's why love is so important, because love is the fertilizer to grow in the gardens of everybody's heart. So when we're stuck in a situation, even if it's, whether it's a demon or if it's, you know, the torment of your own mind, you know, whatever you want to call it, it's because you're really battling how to love. How do I love in this situation? And you ask God and he will guide you. So Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, your entire being. These words which I have commanded you today shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts, his principles on their minds, and penetrating their hearts with his truths, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. And this is in the Amplified Bible, so it's a more detail. But day and night, up and down, whatever we're doing, we should be expressing God's precepts, who he is. And it should be description of love. Everything God, who he is love. So when we express forgiveness to someone, we're expressing God's love. When we express mercy, we're expressing God's love. It's all connected to his love. So God's love is expressed through Jesus, and Jesus, hope of glory, he petitioned for the Holy Spirit to come to us. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's in us, it's Father, Son, and us, because the Holy Spirit is in us to motivate us to partnership with Father, Son. Hallelujah. So Jesus is God's gift of love to us and an example of how we ought to love him, ourselves, and others. And it's important that we love ourselves, because if I don't love myself, then I'm telling God he's a liar. Because how can he love me? If I don't love myself, then I'm putting myself higher than him. He loves me, and I have to believe that. So the Holy Spirit was the gift of Jesus that he gave to us so that we can have the power, the Holy Spirit power, the supply, the things we need to express our love in everything to everyone, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to others. So we represent, the Holy Spirit lives in us with the governor's mansion. We are the house of the Lord, and he dwells in us. So wherever we go, the Holy Spirit is present, right? But if we're not obedient, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're quenching the Holy Spirit. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to operate through us. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:16. Are you good, James? You want to say anything?
Just God's love isn't needy.
Amen.
We have a fallen sense of what love is, even in the church. I mean, we start learning, but that's why I like charity, because charity is giving.
Yes.
You know, it says love your wife, not have feelings for your wife. And as long as you do, you can love her.
Right.
And if they run out, you can fall in love with somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's not love.
Right.
That's a sensual, demonic thing, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to clear up something, because we had Pastor Tom on last week, but the week before we were talking about how when if someone was to cheat on the other person, they are. But I just want to make it clear that both people are very, very, very important to God and to be set free, deliverance of that. So if someone comes to me, I would first help them deal with what they're going through first. You can't pray for another person if you have anger in your heart or anything. So you have to overcome those things. You have to be delivered from that pain. And nobody's saying that it's not. We have flesh. We're in the flesh. So we experience things. Nobody's saying that you're not experiencing these things. But you could be free. And that's the important thing. That's what God's telling us. Yes, they may have happened. And we can't control another person's behaviors. And yes, sometimes we get affected by other people's bad choices or, you know, what they're going through. But knowing that, once we understand, you know, those things about the situation, the truth about the situation, then we can rise above those things. And then we work with that person to pray for the other person, bless the other person, forgive the other person. I mean, those are the things, you know, whenever someone says, first of all, I wouldn't tell anybody what to do. Okay, about leaving or staying or, you know, that's not what I'm... But I always say, let's start by praying, you know.
And I help whoever comes to me. My point wasn't, like, to get them even going that direction. My point was the body of Christ picks up the offense, flocks to the one that's emotionally hurting, and the other one that's maybe damned to hell.
Yeah.
The true love would realize, hey, this person is in serious trouble. They're going to burn if somebody needs to be praying for that one,
that's not
picking up the offense and bad-mouthing the other one. And that's just
we
a
don't
common
want to join.
Thing. You know?
Right, right. Amen. So I'm glad we cleared that up. That's been on my heart to make sure that, you know, people know that all people are important. And the goal and the purpose of our lives is to love each other. And to bring love to each other. So,
well, more than one time I've prayed for someone that was crying emotionally. Spouse left 2 days earlier and rebuked them spirits. And they're like, this is really weird. I don't feel that anymore. And they're not crying. They're like, oh my gosh, this is weird. I feel good.
Amen.
So, I mean, the attack is real.
Yeah.
They're just spiritual.
Amen. So 1 John 4:16 says, we have come to know by personal observation and experience, and have believed with deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. Matthew 22:37 says, and Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So it is written in the word. And this is, you know, when we say all our heart, soul, and mind, it's spirit, soul, and body, you know. So
Mark, everything within you.
Yeah, everything. All of you, your bone marrow. So, and I'm just reading different ways God says it to us. So Mark 12:30-31. So this is really important because it's in many, several books of the Bible, you know, what God's calling us, how to love him and how to love others. He says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbors. And I said enemies because you should love your as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And just remember, I know for myself, just because you're my neighbor doesn't mean you're my friend. You know, I've had aught between people that lived on my block, and I had to go to them. They didn't know I had aught, but it was, and thank God, because we're very close, and they come to Kingdom Recovery, and we stop, and we pray together, and we share information. It's just amazing. But at first, you know, if we have any aught or anything, they're still considered your neighbor. They live near you. They're around you, you know. But we have to look at that.
You know, some people is just coming to me because I was thinking about how one guy we both know, he would go repent to people and they didn't even know he said stuff or did, man, I should repent. I thought you were an idiot, whatever. and then they would get offended because he would say what he thought. And I told him, I said, if you didn't have conflict with them and they don't know you got upset, just, you don't have to go repent and tell them.
Amen.
Which, you know, you did or said or... You know, but some people, it just came to me, I was thinking about that, was some people go and do that really wanting the other person to repent to them. So tell them how they were mad because they did this, and they're not really repenting. That just came to me.
Yeah, no, and that's
and
our...
just doing it to so you can say, oh, I'm sorry.
That's our 8 and 9 step.
And then when they don't... then they're even more mad because right. Their purpose was not a godly purpose. Right. Their purpose was, you did wrong. You don't even know you did wrong.
And in those steps, it says, except when to do so would injure them or others. You got to know when it's right. See, God was leading me to do that because she's part of our life today, you know. But otherwise, we have to restrain from pen and tongue. We have to usually go to another person too. You know, it's good to review what's going on. To make sure you're hearing some of the right things sometimes. And except when we don't go to somebody, except when to do so would injure them or others, we don't go to them. We only go to them when that wouldn't be an issue. It's really important because people want to, because they feel better about themselves. Like they're like, oh, I feel so good. I want to go say I'm sorry to everybody. But you can hurt people, you know. So that's exactly what you're saying, James, but we actually have it said that way because it's so true, you know. And sometimes that's also part of, like, I want to feel even better about myself, so I'm going to go and tell somebody. And we have to be still.
I remember someone was years ago, probably 20 years ago, I was helping and they were going to talk to her mother, and I kept saying, don't expect her to apologize. Oh, I don't. And I must have said 30 times, maybe not, maybe 10, but I kept saying, don't think she's going to apologize. No, I'm not expecting her to apologize. Okay, I kept, and then she called me afterwards. She's like, I can't believe she didn't apologize. I said, I told you. Yeah, but I thought she would.
Mm-mm. That's right. Nope. So
maybe that falls under what I just got. I think the Lord gave me that.
Amen.
Other part about repenting.
Yeah. Amen. So, and in Luke 10:27, it says, so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. So we need to choose love. Choose Jesus the way he walked, right? So we cannot truly love God until we know the truth. And the truth, Jesus is the truth. The word of God is the truth. Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth that comes to dwell in us. So until we get in a relationship, we can't even understand God. So if we can't understand him, we can't stand under him, under his word, and be covered, because we're too busy trying to do it our own way. You know, we have to take time. A relationship takes time. We can know God, the word, but not be the word with God. You know, be one with God. I could be married, and yes, maybe I am, but I'm never spending time with my husband. I don't know him intimately. And that's what God's calling us to do, is to get to know him, spend time with him alone, with others, wherever you go, God is with you. Recognize that. Even when you're reading the word, it says when we're sitting, when we're standing, all the time, we're with him. So when we confess, I'm sorry. So we cannot truly love God until we know Jesus, until we know the truth. Even the faith to believe in God is a gift from Jesus, right? The Father, through the Holy Spirit, the ability to fulfill God's purpose. So Deuteronomy 30:20 says, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, this is so key, and by holding closely to him, for he is your life, your good life, your abundant life, your fulfillment, and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord promised. He swore, he decreed it, the king, to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to all your generations. That's what he's saying. This goes on and on, yesterday, today, tomorrow. You know, but we have to, as we're obedient to his voice is his word. So if you're saying, well, I don't hear God, be in his word, and that's him speaking to you. Sometimes I read it out loud. Well, listen to it, you know, the word of God. So when we confess God's love, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord and Savior of our lives, my life, only then can we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and directions on how to operate the love of God that's now in you, in the gifts of the Spirit. To not only, because we want to help others see God through our lifestyle, which enables us to produce healthy fruit. Okay, when you see healthy thing, a fruit, a garden, and you see all beautiful flowers and everything, it's attractive. You get drawn into it. God wants people drawing in to himself through your lifestyle, the healthy fruit that you're growing. It is the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide us into all truth and make us free. Making is more important than setting, because we can be set free thousands of times and then come back and be all discombobulated. But to be made free is actually being created free. Not just set free to fly for a little while and then we have to run back because we're a mess again. But to be made free is you're created free. So God wants to create you free. Hallelujah.
A lot of that's breaking legal rights, yes, as far as getting free.
Yeah.
Because you can remove stuff that has a legal right to be there. You know, my mom's story where I guess that bitterness out when she had the trigger finger and it left. Then 6 days later, a thumb locked back up, cast out again, left. 6 days later, locked back up. I kept saying to her, somebody need to forgive. I left it locked up, pray for God to show her. 2 months later, she had a dream, something my dad did 30 years earlier. She never forgave him. She wasn't chewing on it, wasn't thinking about it, but she never forgave him. And she woke up in the middle of it. She walked in the room. He was doing whatever it was he did in real life. She didn't tell me. And she knocked him down in the dream and was kicking him and woke up and said, oh, Lord, I forgive him for that. And her thumb instantly freed up and was free for 19 years till she died.
Praise God. So it frees us from the lies that we're believing, right? And unforgiveness, bitterness is a lie, all right, of the unloving spirit and all the other deceitful spirits that want us to believe that they are love, you know, and that it's okay to be angry because you don't know what they did to me. That's a lie. And when we believe lies, we're being deceived. So as we walk by faith, and that's our trust in obedience, submission to the Holy Spirit, he's not going to force us to do it. It's an invitation. We can say yes or no. You can RSVP any way you want, right? But then he wants an invitation to come into you to be able to operate through you. He's not going to force us to do it. So to the Holy Spirit of God, his words, his purposes, then we will be able to produce and grow in the fruit of the Spirit of God, his love in us. So God's image, my reflection, you know, it's what my relationship with God is going to be a reflection of how I live my life. So his character, the character of God, the fullness, the glory of God. How does that look in your life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, forbearance. That's the hottest one. It is. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law, because if you're walking right, you don't have to worry about the curse. You'll be walking in his blessings. And long-suffering, there's been things in my life that are coming around for several years, have been broken and distorted, and you know, but being obedient to God through it and making decisions through it that lined up with God brought back restoration. It brings it back. We can't control another person and what they're going to do and how they're going to respond, but I can stay where the Lord is, keep walking, forbearing in what the Lord has, blessing a person, praying for a person, whatever it is. And then when it's God's timing, when it comes around, but he will restore. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's see. The first, which is love. Hallelujah. So Jesus is God's love for me and you, for all. The Holy Spirit is God's love in me, to you. So Jesus is God's love for me, for you, for all, right? And all. And Holy Spirit is God's love in me, to you. And then the God, Father God's love is God's love out of me for you. See how he works in the fullness of God? So that's why we have to understand and be in a relationship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, fullness of God, the fullness, all of who God is. Hallelujah. So God is love. Love gives spiritual gifts, talents, blessings, promises, the yes and amen. It is finished. God loves me, and love is in me. I can spread seeds of love. So can you. Who's ever listening? You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you. Now he wants to infill you so that he can pour out of you seeds of love. God's love. The Father's love. Right? Hallelujah. Spiritual gifts is unity and diversity. First Corinthians 12:1-11, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to Peter, only God could have told you that I'm the Messiah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. So there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Hallelujah. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So our gifts are for others. Praise the Lord. It's so that when God is manifesting his gifts through us, they're to encourage, edify, and bring people to him and encourage them and lift others up. Hallelujah.
A lot of people are operating in gifts and don't know it, or they have gifts and don't know it. They're not using their gifts
properly.
Yeah, some of them, they've never been taught the a word of knowledge is knowing something that is already known. It's not prophecy. It's like you could know someone has pain. You may feel their pain. You may get it through a knowing. You may get it through hearing or seeing or smelling. Sometimes you smell bitterness or different spirits.
Oh, yeah.
And me, I get it feeling a lot. I'll feel the pain. But if you don't ask, because the enemy will hit you with fear so hard, you don't want to ask a stranger, is your back hurting, if you're standing in line or whatever. Mm-hmm. There needs to be more taught on the gifts, because people, we need the gifts moving and flowing.
Yeah, we'll probably do that. But when we are in the gifts, it's really love. It's God's love through gifts to love on someone so that they can see his love. They can see him. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and like she said, gifts are, you can't use the gifts on yourself.
Mm-mm.
You may pray, the gift of healing flow, and then get healed through faith. There's other ways you get healed, but you can't use the gift of healing on yourself. You can't use the gift of prophecy on yourself. Prophetic people a lot of times have the hardest time hearing it for themselves. Words of knowledge, none of all that's for others, because it's a gift. You don't buy Christmas presents for yourself. It's giving. So these are things that operate for the use for others.
Yeah. Amen. And talents, I would say, are things that we can build up. You know, it's like going to practice in a if you're a sport, if you play sports. So talents are things that we're born with, the natural talents, but we also can abuse, misuse our talents, and we can grow in our talents, enhance our talents as we utilize our talents in the right direction, even in the wrong direction, but really they're for God. All of it's for God, our whole life. The gifts and the talents, all for God. Hallelujah.
One thing that happens real quick I want to say is in the church a lot of times people want the gifts getting any attention, and they'll study and study something they're not really operating in, and they may stretch their, because we can move in all the gifts somewhat. They may be a one or two, say, in prophecy, but they're trying to stretch that because they want to be able to stand up and prophesy. And they're stretching it to a three or a four, where they got discerning of spirits, and they're a six already, and they could be a 10 if they just would work on what God's given them instead of chasing, because we just have that happen in the American church. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The attention thing. And no offense, if you have that, just recognize and seek God to show you what your gifts are if you don't know, because everyone has gifts. If you're,
and we will. We'll do that after we're done with all the different, because we want to talk about the unloving spirit so that people know the difference, you know, so because we share that a lot. We teach that a lot in Kingdom Recovery a lot in the past, too. And people, it's subtle. You know, you don't know you're in the unloving spirit.
Yeah, totally.
So we want to get that out there. We want to probably, we'll probably teach more fully on fruits and gifts and talents so that people do, you know, the truth is what makes us also be able to operate properly, created to operate properly with the Lord, you know. So the more we know about what he says about these things, the more we can grow. And then we can go, right? That's what I usually say. Amen. So you want to say
sometimes
something?
Just knowing God will start, like even me explaining feeling pains when you're standing in line, whether that aren't your pains. If you've heard that, you may be surprised tomorrow. It starts happening because now that you know, and the more you know, the more he'll use you in that a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because now you know.
And just remember that everything he does is to express his love for us and for others. It's all based on love. It's all for love, for God, you know, for love.
Yeah, and a lot of us to evangelize.
Yeah, and you know? To love, yeah. as
I'm just saying, we made the gift a thing to promote, like in the church, when it's really for outside the church, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
More right. just right. leading people to the Lord through words of knowledge or getting them healed, and they Amen. Don't know there is Amen. A God. And
yep.
Probably 90% of the people I've led to the Lord was, they were healed when I prayed, but then I led them to the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. They were opened.
Amen. So 1 Corinthians 13, and this is the greatest gift, love. You know. So though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not loved, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Praise the Lord. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest is love. Praise God. So this is saying that all these things we can do on earth, right? And we can do them, obviously, and not love. And he's saying, even if you on earth, they all go away when you're in heaven. You don't need to operate in deliverance and, you know, healing and all that, because you're with him. It's all done in heaven. Mm-hmm. But love, if you don't have love, you're not going to have that there either. So you need to, it's love that he wants to build upon, not the gifts, not the talents. Those are so that we can express his love.
Well, you have to love to labor in your gift, or you labor not of love or for attention, you know.
That's the difference, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying, so where is it coming from, right? You know, and that's why, you know, even being obedient to his word is so important, because whenever I find myself having to, when I say yes, the obedience is, there's always a little sacrifice. You know, when I'm putting myself down, my desire, I feel it, you know? And it's, you know, sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's big, but it's all the same to him. It's out of love. It's out of putting myself aside, or, you know, the thing that I want to do, or the way I think it should be done, or, you know, how I want to spend my time, how I want to purchase things in, you know, in my life, meaning time is really, it's, you know, there's a price to pay for obedience, and there's a price to pay for disobedience. It's up to us how we want to spend our time, you know, because that's the only currency we really have, heavenly spiritual currency here on earth. So it's important, and these are the things that we need to think about. And I'm going to just reiterate that that's 1 Corinthians 13, and that's something that I often ask people when they come to me, to know what love looks like, what God, the character of love, who God is in that scripture. It's a love letter to us to teach us and recognize love, and when we're not in love, when it's not love. So he gives us the answer to if something's loving or unloving. So, and that's why it might not look like that in the situation, but when you start looking in the spirit, it all is based on, is this love? Am I love? Is that love? Do I want to be part of this unloving thing? You know, these are the decisions we have to make. The choices are free will. But if I don't know that the other side of something, I'm only going to stay one way. And that keeps me closed-minded. I got to know the other side of things. There's always another side. So the scripture is of God, is God's definition, his character of love. God tells us that if our actions are not motivated by love, they are worthless, even if they appear to be worthwhile. It also states that love endures all things and that love never fails, both of which seem hard to achieve, and they do. So, and we're talking about deliverance. This is about being delivered from all those other things that go against love in our life. Bitterness, jealousy, envy, fornication. Go against God. God is love. Go against his word. So what does he say about these things? And we can simply do a spiritual inventory, which he's been teaching me about. You know, I shared that also at the teaching that I went through, like, my... all the scriptures that I could remember, and he keeps bringing more up during events in my life. And I can see how I've grown spiritually and how he's been present in my life. Even before I knew him, he's been revealing things about his pursuing me, even when I was a child, and different ways, and only because I can see a more clear picture of love today that I can see, because it didn't feel like love then, but now I can see the love. Praise God. Did you want to share a scripture?
Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything.
Amen.
But to love one another. For he that loves another fulfills the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, which is huge in America. I wish they used a different word. You'll not long for things. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill towards his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Amen. Amen. So I also...
That's the new covenant.
Yeah. Amen. And I believe it's our measure. Love is the measure of how we love is the measure that God's going to use in Judgment Day for us. And that's the question.
Did you learn to love?
Did you learn to love? Amen. I really believe that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bob Jones passed in 73, was dead clinically, mm-hmm. and was standing before the Lord, and he
makes sense.
Was asking every single person, did you learn to love?
Amen.
The weird thing is, not weird, but... because we know unforgiveness with arthritis. There was a person in front of him was full of arthritis. At 73, he didn't know any of this. And when he said, did you learn to love? She said, I loved you, but I didn't love your people.
Yeah, right? There you go. I never knew you. So God defines love by knowing Jesus. To know Jesus is to know love. And that's when even Jesus, you know, when he says, I never knew you, it's our heart condition that he's talking about. Is it a mirror image of who he is? 1 John 4:8-9 says, the one who does not love has not become acquainted with God. This is the Amplified. Does not have and never did know him. For God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. By this, the love of God has displayed in us. Praise God. In that God has sent his one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, into the world so that we might live through him. So God gave us Jesus, who is his love, and through Jesus, his love, his life, and resurrection, we were restored back to the Father's love. With him, in him, and through him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to be in a love relationship with God and others through him. You know, we say we love people, but, you know, James, you say it really good. What we're really saying is, I need you.
Yeah, do you love me?
Right, do you love me? Yeah, what can you give me?
I love you. Do you love me?
Amen.
I need you. You complete me.
That's right. So John 15:13 says, a greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. And that, and we'll stop there because we're gonna pray. But I just wanna, you know, just tell people God loves you, everyone listening here, and that's the most important thing, that He loves you. He loved you first, so you have all the love you need. So whatever you're looking for outside of God's love, His Word, it's never gonna fill you. It didn't for me, and it still doesn't. You know, sometimes we wanna.
And God wants you to know. I just feel this on my heart.
You can pray.
When you repent, it's forgiven. He is not bringing past sins up. That's the enemy. Don't let that run in your head, whoever that is, maybe more than one. But He is not holding stuff. You are forgiven. You are loved. He's not like a father that gets you spanking and is mad at you. It's like He just wants you to repent, and then you're right back in this love flow.
Amen, amen, amen. You want to pray?
Father, I ask you to bless everyone.
Thank you.
On the call, Lord, listening. On the radio listening, and help us to walk in your love, Lord, so we can fulfill the law and the world can see your love through us. That's the way you design it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to share your love on the radio with others, your word, and your power to influence and penetrate through the hearts of everybody listening, Father. You're listening to WCNO. This is Kingdom Recovery. We're on every Friday at 5. And you can reach me, Luann Linnegan, at 631-745-7980. We started our Zoom on Saturdays at 9 o'clock, 9:15. So join us if you want. And again, my number is 631-745-7980. And we love you. God loves you. Shalom, shalom. And we'll see you next. Well, we'll be talking with you next week, and you'll be listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, well, we'll say two more minutes. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love, all the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Torches, torches, run with it.